Dear God, we thank you for Christmas. We thank you for this holiday that reminds us of the incarnation of God wrapped in human flesh, of God the Son making that incredible journey to come and live life on our terms and offer himself as a sacrifice for our sins. Lord, I pray that as we go through this season that people would step back and reflect and think. Enjoy time with family and friends, give wonderful gifts to each other, but acknowledge and accept and celebrate that greatest gift, which is Jesus himself. We just ask for your blessing on our time together today, and we ask it in the powerful name of your Son. Amen. You know, I like videos like that. I love to hear kids and how they describe Christmas. I think of the little girl and they're unpacking the nativity set at their house and she's identifying everything as it comes out. And here's Mary, here's Joseph. And when she gets to baby Jesus in the manger, she says, well, here's baby Jesus in his car seat, strapped in the car seat. And so I just want us to think about this day, really a passage that maybe you don't think of as a Christmas passage, but I think it's an important passage and it puts maybe some fresh eyes on Christmas. John 3:16, which is at the very heart of our faith, simply says, for God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. And so Christmas is about this incredible gift of God's love, this expression of God's love. And so I want us to see that. I want us to understand that. And I want to look at a passage that we looked at last week, but from this angle, that Christmas is about the gift of God's love in the person of Jesus Christ. At the heart of the kind of the traditional Christmas passage in Luke chapter 2, where we're told about, the angels going to the shepherds and all of this, we have the angels' declaration in Luke chapter 2, verse 10 and 11. And here's what they said. But the angel said to them, do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. And what we need to understand about God is that God doesn't just have love. God is love, the scripture says. It is really at the heart of his character. And Christmas is an outflow, an expression of God's love for us. It's really, truly incredible. Honestly, when you think about Christmas, Christmas whispers to us, you are loved. It really does. If you look at these titles for Jesus, I want to unpack them in the context of the love that they show us. The first is Savior. When you look at that, he is a Savior. And a Savior points to the fact that God is offering us a forgiving love, a forgiving love. And I love the fact when you look at that passage in Luke chapter 2, verse 10 and 11, it says, do not be afraid, I bring you. Grab that you. I mean, he's talking originally to those shepherds, but you grab it for yourself. And then it goes on, it says, a Savior has been born to you. And so there is this forgiving love offered to each and every one of us. Our former governor, Sarah Palin, was telling about one of her grandkids' trip. And she said he looked at all the gifts that they had for him, and he simply said this, he was a little guy, said, all this for me, and I wasn't even very good this year. And I thought that was fun. Christmas is this incredible gift of God, despite what we've done, despite how we've lived. It is this incredible grace and mercy and love, this extraordinary love that he offers us. In Romans 5:6, it says, you see, at just the right time when we were still powerless, Christ died for the ungodly. That's us. That's not just people over here. That's not people who sin differently. We are the ungodly. We have twisted God's truth. We have broken his law. We have ignored his calls to holiness and to love. You know, one thing to think about, because sometimes we can be very proud, is to step back and go, what's the worst thing I've ever done? And feel the weight of that. But then remember that God's love sent Jesus Christ to die for that and every other thing that you have done, that I have done. Jesus came and paid the price for that. What he offers us is a forgiving love. It is this incredibly sweet gift that we have it. You know, there's a story that grabbed me probably a decade ago from a book called No Wonder They Call Him the Savior. It's about a mother and her daughter. And the mother's name was Maria, and they lived outside of Rio de Janeiro in Brazil. And they lived in this small village. And she had a daughter, and they lived in poverty. It was a very simple life, and the mom was a maid, and she worked very hard, and she tried to be a good mom to her daughter. But her daughter was very, very restless, and she always talked about how she wanted to go and live in the big city. And this made her mom very, very nervous because, you know, in the village, they kind of took care of each other. In the village, you could find a job, and in the big city, the jobs were scarce, and nobody would be there to help her if she fell down. And so her daughter, Christina, when she turned about 15, she began to talk more and more about going to the city. And one day, this mother, Maria's heart was broken when she got up and she saw that in the middle of the night, her daughter had taken off. And she knew where she'd gone. And she was very frightened for her daughter because, you know, it's when you don't have food, when you don't have money, when her daughter really didn't have any skills, but she was a beautiful young girl, she was afraid of what would happen. And so she decided, and she gathered all the money she could, and she went to the city, and she, I mean, it's huge. How could she ever find her? But she knew her daughter had no skills. She knew her daughter would be desperate, and she knew her daughter was proud and wouldn't want to come home and admit defeat. And so she went to all the places where she thought a desperate girl might end up if she ended up in prostitution or some desperate way to provide for herself. And she had stopped in at a drugstore and gone into the little booth and taken pictures of herself. This is what the mother does with her money. Pictures of herself, and put these pictures in all these, you know, really dark places. Hotels, bars, nightclubs, anywhere that she thought a desperate daughter might end up. And when she ran out of money and she ran out of time, she went back to her home in the village. She prayed and she waited. And weeks went by, turned into months, and Christina, that daughter, did get desperate. And she did whatever she had to do to survive. And Christina came down one night out of a hotel down the stairs, and she, you know, her laughter was gone. The brightness in her eyes was gone. There was deep sadness in her soul because of what she was doing to survive. And she caught a glimpse of a familiar face on a bulletin board in this hotel where she was staying and working. And it was her mother. And she went over and she picked up this picture, pulled it off the board, and looked on the back. And her mother had written this message, very brief, but to the heart. Whatever you have done, whatever you have become, it doesn't matter. Please come home. And she did. And that's a glimpse of the forgiving love of God. And that's what Christmas is about, is God's love for us, no matter what we have done. You know, the Hebrew word for mercy is the one we see most often for God's love for us. Because for a holy God to have a relationship with us requires mercy, requires grace. And so I want you to understand that, because the holiness and justice of God would bring out anger towards us. But God deals with that through sending Jesus on the cross. He deals with the justice and the anger and the righteousness. He deals with all of that. And so God does not end up mad at us. God ends up mad about us. He offers us a great love. He sent his own son to die for us. See, a message wouldn't cut it. To send another message to live differently, to live better, that wasn't going to be enough. He had to send the payment. He had to send a way that we could be saved. When Jesus summed up his mission, he said this in Luke 19:10. He said, "For the Son of Man came to seek and to save the lost. That's what Jesus was about. You see, the message of Christmas is that this world and our lives in some, at least some areas, are pretty messy. We can never save ourselves. See, religion teaches us that somehow if you just do the right thing, if you do some good deeds, if you're generous or whatever, that somehow you can climb your way into God's acceptance. But the gospel is the opposite of that. The gospel is that Jesus Christ descends, that love stoops, that love comes to us and offers us and makes a way where there was no way, so that we could be forgiven and we could be set free. And so when we look at Jesus as Savior, we look at that forgiving love that he offers us at Christmas. Next, in Luke chapter 2, verse 10 and 11, we see that he is called Messiah. And Messiah is the anointed one, the long-awaited one, the one that fulfills all the ancient prophecies. And this is about a faithful love of God, a persevering love of God, a promise-keeping love of God. It is this faithful love that works with us, that works with humanity, that works through his chosen people, the Jewish nation. You know, it starts all the way back, and I go back to it a lot because it's the original promise about Jesus in the book of Genesis, Genesis 3:15, when God is talking to the serpent. He says, "I will put enmity between you and the woman, between your offspring and hers. He will crush your head and you will strike his heel." And so that points to the cross where Jesus does die, where Jesus does suffer. But in the cross, he destroys the power of Satan and the hold of sin and death in our lives. And so we can walk differently. We can live differently. And we have a God who is a promise-keeping God. We have a God who offers us a faithful kind of love. When you read the genealogies in the Bible, and I know it's not the most exciting section, you know, like at the beginning of Matthew, if you go back and look at the stories behind the names, they're messy. But you see this faithful love from God, this forgiving and faithful kind of love that he offers us. It's a relentless love that he has for us. And so God sends his son to become one of us. A song you may want to look up sometime is one that I like right now. It's called "The God Who Stays" by Matthew West. When others will give up, God still stays. He perseveres. He is faithful in his love for us. And the third title that's given to Jesus in this passage by the angels in Luke chapter 2, verse 10 and 11 is the Lord. And so this is an all-powerful love. This is not a weak love. This is a powerful love. This is the love that can change everything. And where we put Jesus can make all the difference in our lives. I was reading a rabbi and he said this. He said, "Jesus Christ is of no importance unless he is of supreme importance." Jesus is the very personification, the very face of the love of God. And so it is so important that we get this, that we understand it. Only through his lordship, only through his power does the cross work. Only through the fact that he is both human and fully divine can our sins be forgiven. And so it is so important that we have this all-powerful love. Now, sometimes people can miss how important Jesus is. That he is truly Lord, that he's truly fully divine. They maybe just look at him as a good teacher or just kind of, you know, lower him down with everybody else. I think of Nancy Dugan, a lady who talked about when she was a little girl, and she said as Christmas drew near, she was about 4 or 5 years old, and the family tried to explain to her the meaning of Christmas, and she got very excited about the presents and the gifts, and this was her first Christmas that she really remembered and was engaged. And she said after Christmas was done, she was talking to her older sister, and she was talking about how great Christmas was, and she said that her sister to this day will kind of give her a hard time about this, that her 4 or 5 year old self said to her, she said, "I really hope Joseph and Mary have another baby." She wanted more gifts. But Jesus is fully unique, fully divine. He is King of Kings and Lord of Lords. It is an all-powerful love. That's what makes the Christian system work. And so at Christmas, God gives us nothing less than himself. He offers us himself. You know, the theologians often define salvation in this way. They'll say salvation in its full sense is freedom from the guilt of sin in the past, the power of sin in the present, and the presence of sin in the future. And only Jesus as Lord can pull that off. Only an all-powerful kind of love can change us, can deal with what we've done in the past, can break that stranglehold that sin has on us right now, and can move us forward to the new heavens and the new earth so that someday there's a place where there is not even the presence of sin at all. Only Jesus as Lord can do that. To understand the love of God, one author, he talked about, it's kind of like trying to take the water of Niagara Falls and put it into a thimble. The love of God is remarkable. He's truly the one person who knows every single thing about us and is unfazed by it and offers us that forgiveness and offers us that faithfulness and offers us that all-powerful love that can actually change our lives. Now, it can be asked, are we capable of becoming God's dwelling place? Well, we're told in Scripture that when we become Christians, we receive the Holy Spirit. He actually comes and dwells within us. And that all-powerful love, we become instruments of it. We share that love. We turn around and we are people of generosity. We are people who walk in servanthood. We are people who are humble, who are kind, who tell the truth. I think of Jesus at the Last Supper who said this. He said, "This is my commandment, that you love one another, even as I have loved you." And so that persistent, forgiving, powerful love must be shared. It's not something that we can just take and receive. It's something that we turn around and we offer to others. We're a channel of God's love. And so in a sense, I love what Max Lucado says. He talks about every heart can be a manger, and every day can be Christmas. Because in a sense, we receive that love of God, and we can turn around and offer it to those around us. It is so crucial that we understand how much God loves us. It's hard to comprehend. You know, when I worked for several years on a crisis line talking people out of suicide, one of the strongest things that I could do when you're dealing with a hopeless person, a person that is sad and in a very, very dark place, is to find a connection of love. If I could find somebody that they felt like loved them, it could make all the difference. A mother, a friend, a neighbor, a coworker, and ultimately God. And so we need to understand that this connection with God is so powerful. This all-powerful love can change our lives. Author Candy Chan talks about when she went to her young son's Christmas pageant at school. So it was a secular little program that the little kids did. And she said, you know, it was enjoyable, it was fun, but there wasn't much about Jesus. There wasn't much about it. It was, you know, kind of Santa-directed. And she said, but they got to the last song, and it was interesting. It was a song called Christmas Love. And they did it, they were putting up letters that spell out Christmas love. And every letter, you know, had a little line that they would sing. C is for Christmas, and they hold up a C. And then H is for happy, and they hold up an H, and they'd sing about that. And they just move through. Well, they get to the M in Christmas, and the little girl, with great confidence, held up her M, but she had it upside down, and so it was a W. And some of the other kids kind of giggled, and this author said she was watching. And then when they get to the end and they're writing Christmas love, then she said the message hit the whole audience, and there was like an audible gasp. When you looked at it, with the M flipped, it said Christ was love. And she said the little girl got it right. The little girl gave the real message. You see, Christmas is love wrapped in swaddling clothes, according to Liz Curtis Higgs. And I love that summary. And I want you to understand that the joy of Christmas and the promise of Christmas is that the miracle of Bethlehem can still happen in a sense. In a symbolic way, God still enters into our reality and our messes and everyday lives, and he loves us. He gives us that forgiving love, that faithful love, and that all-powerful love that can change us. I just want to close by reading a prayer that I found that I appreciate. If you'll bow your heads, I'll just read it. My heart, your manger, like the stable in which you lay, my heart is simple, frail as hay. But if you would within me stay, make my heart your manger, I pray. Be born in this place, I pray. Amen. It's my hope that this Christmas, your cry is to God, be born in this place, in my life, and in yours.